Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma abad. Alhamdulillah. Today is the 7th of January in the year 2018. Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the third session that we're going through, the commentary of the glorious Surah Hud alayhi salatu wa salam. And I've reached verse 8 of the blessed Surah. So inshallah today, going through up to and including verse 12. So verse 8, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. If we delay the penalty for them for a definite term, they are sure to say, what keeps it back? Ah, on the day it reaches them, nothing will turn it away from them, and they will completely be encircled by that which they use to mock at. So in this holy verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the mockery of the unbelievers with regards to why they are not being punished for their misdeeds. It is as if they are saying, oh, all this talk of punishment is nonsense. There is no such thing. So this is mockery. And you notice they will say this. What's this threat of punishment? So here the mockery is, they say, what's keeping it back? What's keeping the punishment back? So here, this has actually been answered in another part of the glorious Quran. In the last verse of Surah Fatir, Surah 35, verse 45. Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He mentions clearly the translation. If it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wish to punish mankind for their misdeeds, He would not leave on the back of the earth a single living creature, but He gives them respite for a term appointed. When their term expires, verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His sight has all His servants. So in this holy verse, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He mentions why He doesn't punish. If He punishes, everybody on the surface of the earth would be taken to task. They'd be wiped out. So think about that. If you want justice, everybody's going to get wiped out. And Allah is telling you this. And this is why our beloved Messenger himself mentioned a few things that Allah has said. So this is in Abu Dawood, Ahmad Ibn Majah Ibn Abi Asim in his As-Sunnah, and Shaykh Al-Bani Rahmatullah Ali states Sahih in Sahih Al-Jami number 5244 and Sahih Sunnah Abi Dawud number 3932. Our beloved Messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to punish the inhabitants of His heavens and the inhabitants of His earth, then He would certainly punish them, and this would entail no injustice on His part ever. And if He was to show them mercy, then His mercy for them would be better for them than their own deeds. SubhanAllah. So here the Prophet clarifying another aspect. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's saying that if Allah was to punish not only those on the earth but in the heavens, He goes, He would do this, they would all be punished without any injustice. Quite interesting. Without any injustice, He would punish them. But His mercy is greater than their deeds. And this is why, to highlight this point further, our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would condemn me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam, for our lapses, He subhanahu wa ta'ala would then punish us and would not then be unjust to us in the least. This is in Ibn Hibban Abu Nu'im, and it's Sahih in As-Sahiha number 3200. So here the Prophet is mentioning two of the great Prophets, himself and Jesus Christ, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said, if Allah the Almighty was to condemn us for our lapses, so this means not even sins, because the Prophets are protected from sins, lapses, then Allah the Almighty would punish us, He would not be unjust to us in the least. Think about that. Meaning, a person can go into the fire without committing a single sin. And Allah the Almighty and Glorious, despite that, would not be unjust to you. Meaning, you are always worthy of the fire. Always. Meaning, you are incapable of showing gratitude. Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He testifies again and again that you cannot show gratitude to me enough. You cannot thank me for my blessings. Impossible. And because of that default, you're all worthy for the fire. So note here, look at the beauty. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, if you want justice, you're all going to get wiped out on the earth. Don't ask for people to get punished, because you would be also on the list. And in the hadith, the Prophet echoes, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would do this without any injustice, including his great self, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and of course, Jesus Christ, alayhi salatu wa sallam. And this is why, in another passage of the Quran, in Surah 14, verse 42, Surah Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wa sallam, there's a touching verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Do not think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not heed the deeds of those who do wrong. So here there's a report by Abu al-Mu'ayyid al-Maliki al-Makki rahmatullah alayh. He passed away roughly 1,000 years ago in his Manaqib al-Imam Abu al-Akram al-Hanifa, page 12. So Ibrahim al-Basri rahmatullah alayh, he relates, I was offering Fajr with Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, when he recited this verse. So Imam Abu Hanifa is offering Fajr, he recites Surah 14 verse 42. Do not think that Allah the Almighty does not heed the deeds of those who do wrong. He thereupon wept, and his whole body convulsed with sobbing. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, when he read this verse, because do not even think that Allah Ta'ala is not heedful of those who do wrong. Don't even think this. Imam Abu Hanifa burst into tears. Why? So one obvious reason we can now give is because he knows every injustice that's taken place on the earth, every crime. And Allah Ta'ala is saying, you don't even think this, that I'm not aware. And why was he weeping? Because we're all deserving of the fire. You have to rely upon the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, this answers the questions which people ask throughout the ages. Where is Allah? Common atheistic question. If God is here, why isn't He taken to task the tyrants? Why isn't He taken to task the rapists? Why isn't He read the Quran instead of coming out with Jack and Hori? Right? Allah Ta'ala giving you the answers in the Quran. You know, what are you asking these questions for? So the Quran here, so in this verse, in verse 8 of Surah Hud, Allah Ta'ala is mentioning their mockery. He says, if we delay the penalty for them for a definite term, they are sure to say, what keeps it back? So look how strange. Instead of them thinking this is Allah Ta'ala's justice and wisdom, why He's holding it back? They're mocking it. That to them is a proof He's not there. He's allowing us, if He was there, He would intervene. Not correct. Allah Ta'ala says, then He says, look in the second part of the verse. On the day it actually reaches them, nothing will turn it away from them, and they will be completely encircled by that which they used to mock at. So when Allah Ta'ala answers that now, He says, when it actually comes the punishment, no escape. The thing that they were mocking now, they are completely open to the punishment. In fact, in another part of the Quran, in Surah 52, verse 13 to 16, the translation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions that. That day shall they be thrust down to the fire of hell irresistibly. This, it will be said, is the fire which you used to deny. Is this then fake? Or is it you that you now see? Burn therein. The same it is to you whether you bear it with patience or not. You would receive the recompense of your deeds. SubhanAllah. So in these four verses, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says in the first verse, Surah 52 verse 13, they'll be thrust into the fire Da'a. Mujahid explained, Da'a means they will be violently shoved into the fire. Violently shoved. This is in Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn Jarir, Ibn Kathir. Then Allah Ta'ala now reverses the mockery. This, it will be said, is the fire which you used to deny. We talk about the fire, you know, it's the unbelievers, the mock. Oh yeah, you're going to get burned in a place called hell. Right? So Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, here it is. This is what you denied. Then he says, أَفَسِحْرٌ هَذَا أَمْ أَنْتُمْ لَا تُمْسِرُونَ. Is this witchcraft? Or is it that you can see? Because look your eyes. Is this hell? Then he says, burn therein. The same now, whether you bear it or with patience or not, this is the reward for your deeds. So note, Allah Ta'ala is answering all your questions. He's giving you past, present and future. And here he's discussing this type of kufr of the unbelievers, but suddenly it shakes the Muslims. Why? Because they've left the Quran. Where is God? No, classic question. Verse 9. If we give man a taste of mercy from ourselves and then withdraw it from him, behold, he is in despair and he falls into blasphemy. So now another scenario. Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he mentions that when he gives you ease and blessings, you fall into a type of kufr, a type of ingratitude. So what's the clarification here? Again, another passage of the Quran. In Surah 22, verse 11. So in Surah Hajj, verse 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions there exactly who's been described. So there's a report. The hadith is in Ruh al-Ma'ani and Waru al-Bayan. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, he relates. A Jew embraced Islam, after which he lost his sight, he lost his wealth, and he lost his children. He then came to the Holy Prophet in this state, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, requesting that his pledge of allegiance be revoked, because he considered Islam to be unfortunate for him. The Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thereupon said, O Jew, Islam melts people with trials, just like how a furnace melts iron, gold and silver, removing the alloys and dirt from it. Upon this, verse 11 of Surah Hajj was revealed. And the translation, there are amongst mankind some who serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it were on the verge. If good befalls them, they are there with content. But if a test comes to them, they turn on their faces. They lose both this world and the hereafter. That is loss for all to see. Subhanallah. So what happened? Simply put, a person embraced Islam and he was literally, the proverbial kitchen sink was thrown at him. He lost everything. His eyesight, his health, his wealth, his family. So he actually thought it's a curse. Imagine, he actually thought my embracing Islam is a curse. So he went to the Prophet, he goes, cancel my pledge. And the Prophet told him, this is why you are going through these tribulations. It's melting away everything that you've committed, all the crimes that you've committed. But then Allah Ta'ala revealed the verse. Allah Ta'ala was saying, there are people like this. They're on the verge. They're Muslims, but they're on the verge. And when goodness comes, they're happy. Yes. But when the test comes, Khuda hafiz, I knew there was something wrong with this religion. And Allah Ta'ala goes, they've lost everything, both this world and the hereafter. Why? Look at the Jew. He lost everything. He lost his world and he lost the hereafter. He didn't realize this was the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another report, it mentions in Sahih Bukhari, Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Ma'riful Quran, Ibn Abbas recited this verse and he explained, a man used to come to Medina, and if his wife brought a son and his horses produced offspring, he would say, this religion is good. But if his wife did not give birth to a child and his horses produced no offspring, he would say, this religion is bad. And Allah the Almighty revealed this verse, Surah 22, verse 11, on the verge. And all people like that. They embrace Islam. And then they expect now angels to carry them on their shoulders, walking around. First test comes, they go, eh? So I want to be Allah Ta'ala is going to look after me. Fruitcake. Ask the ulama, what's happening? They go, and there you go. They don't even realize why they're putting me in these tribulations. Mujahid Qatada and others recited this word. If you look at verse 11 of Surah Al-Hajj, Allah harf, on the verge, they explain, means they are in doubt. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there are amongst mankind some who serve Allah as if on the verge, the authority said in doubt. They become Muslim, but they've still got tremendous doubts. And that's why in the Quran, Allah ta'ala says, وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْحَقِّ. Push one another to truth, otherwise you'll end up in kufr. So note in this verse, Allah is referring to this, verse 9 of Surah Hud. If we give man a taste of mercy from ourselves and withdraw it from him, behold, he is in despair and falls into blasphemy. Astaghfirullah. The next verse, verse 10. But if we give him a taste of our favors after adversity has touched him, he is sure to say, all evil has departed from me. Behold, he then falls into exaltation and pride. The opposite. So he's got problems, booties. He's gone now. Then he goes into lafarihun fakhur, exaltation and pride. So what does this mean? So in another part of the Quran, in Surah 6, verse 63, Surah An'am, verse 63, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that. Say, who is it that delivers you from the dark recesses of land and sea when you call upon him in humility and in silent terror? If he only delivers us from these dangers, we shall truly show our gratitude. Say, it is Allah that delivers you from these and other distresses, yet you worship others. You turn away. So look at these two beautiful verses. Surah 6, verse 63 and 64. Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, when you are on land and sea, and you are in khufya, there's two ways to decide this, two readings, khufya and khifa, khifatan. Khufya means silently, secretly, from the depths of your heart, suggesting terror. Khifatan, out of terror or fear or reverence. So you call upon your Lord deep in your heart when you're in deep trouble in land and sea. And then you say to him, if you deliver us from this, I will show gratitude. What a foolish statement. Right? I will show gratitude. How are you going to show gratitude? Right? لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Then Allah Ta'ala says, he delivers you from this and all your worries. ثُمَّ أَنْتُمْ تُشْرِكُونَ. Then you turn away. Why? Because Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiyallahu anhu said in Tirmidhi, authentic, when we were tested by hardships, it was easy. When we were tested by ease, it was hard. So somebody goes, what? When we were tested by hardship, it was easy. Why? Because you have to show patience. You know, you have no choice in the matter. You're being tested. What are you going to do? Sperm drop, right? Yeah, I'm going to show patience. MashaAllah, well done, right? But when you get ease, what happens? Everything's going sweet. Right? Then what happens? Suddenly zikr starts falling down. Quran, where's that gratitude you promised? Your fruitcake. You're asking for it. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 10, but if we give him a taste of favors after adversity has touched him, he is sure to say, all evil has departed from me. Behold, he falls into exaltation and pride. In fact, he goes into an even worse state. He starts thinking he's special. God loves me because he sorted me out. Well, no, about that, brother. But how's your worship? Didn't see your fajr today. Oh, brother, alarm went off and I didn't get up. But yeah, when it was the hardships, praying tajid. What about the fajr? Verse 11. Not so do those who show patience and constancy and do deeds of righteousness. For them is forgiveness of sin and great reward. So now Allah Ta'ala tells you, the true believer, this is how he reacts. Their attitude is the correct one. To take ill fortune with fortitude and good fortune with humility. And in either case, go on persevering in good deeds for the rest of their lives. Allah Ta'ala praises these are the ones. When they are tested, they show patience. When they go through good times, they are humble. And they Either way, they are persevering. They're not stopping their deeds. Allah Ta'ala says, these are the ones I promise forgiveness and a great reward. Not the ones who are on the verge, or those who are like basically awliyas in patience, but when all times go sweet, khuda hafiz. And there's an example, I'll mention it very quickly. Cat Stevens, Yusuf Islam, he became Muslim. And his story to Islam was very interesting. He was obviously one of the famous singers. They call him Cat Stevens. And to cut a long narration short, somebody gave him a Quran as a gift. I don't know why or how. He just left it on the shelf. And then someday he goes, he's in the, you know, he's in a holiday resort or whatever. And he's swimming out. He doesn't realize the tide is taking him out. So he's swimming, enjoying himself, but the tide's taking him further away from the shore. When he turns back, he realizes he's going further out into sea. So obviously, no matter how strong a swimmer you are, you're in trouble. So he then starts panicking, thinking, I might drown. So he's swimming back, the tides keep taking him out. And then he cries out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Quran says, silent terror. If you save me, I will truly be thankful. Wait a minute, you didn't believe in God. Why are you calling out to now? Anyway, so he calls out. Guess what happens? He said it himself. The tide turns. Goes back. So what did he promise Allah Ta'ala? I will be truly grateful. The tide turns. He forgets everything. Right? This is the nature of man. When he goes back to his catching, you know, singing, you know, using his guitar and the rest of it. Right? And then what happens? One fateful day, he notices the Quran. Picks it up. First page he opens. It's the verse I've recited. قُلْ مَنْ يُنَجِّيكُمْ مِنْ ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ تَدْعُونَهُ تَضَرَّعُوا وَخُفْيَا لَإِنْ عَنْجَانَ مِنْ هَذِهِ لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ قُلِ اللَّهُ يُنَجِّيكُمْ مِنْهَا وَمِنْ كُلِّ كَرْبٍ ثُمَّ أَنْتُمْ تُشْرِكُونَ. Say, who delivers you from the perils of land and sea? When you call out to him humbly and in secret, saying, save us, and we will be truly thankful. Say, Allah delivers you from them and from all afflictions, yet you turn away. Iman, he goes, entered my heart immediately, because God was talking to me. Surah 6, verse 63 to 4. So note, this is the nature of man, but Allah Ta'ala in his kindness sometimes reminds them again, then you make a promise. So note, these are examples, and how many times in your own life these things happen? Ya Allah, I'll become like Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani. Don't dare say that, right? When you ask for help, this is important. Sometimes people make these strange vows. They go, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you do this, then I will fast. There's a problem with that. If you say this, this is fine. And it's actually encouraged. You need something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you say this. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you fulfill this wish of mine, out of gratitude, I will fast 1 month. That's recommended. This is greatly disliked. If you say this, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you fulfill this wish of mine, I will fast 1 month. What's the difference? Gratitude. Why? Because you don't bargain with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second one's doing a business deal with him. Who the hell are you to make a business deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Imagine any sperm drop saying, if you do this, I'll do that. He doesn't need your worship. What sort of a wretched statement is that? But if you say, no, ya Allah, if you do it out of gratitude, I will show extra, you know, devotion and gratitude. This is recommended. Yeah, Bole Bali doing this left hand center. Imagine it. Thinking they're doing a good deed. Imagine. And then they start negotiating. Yeah? They start negotiating. And Allah fulfills it. And then he goes, by that month, I'll split it into 12 months, but I'll do 3 days every month. You didn't say that. You said a month. No, but I'm doing a month, Anna. In fact, I'll do it over 30 years, one day every year. Negotiations start. Then he dies next year. So note, this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the affairs of the believer is amazing. If he's tested, he shows patience. If he's in ease, he shows gratitude. In Sahih Muslim. Verse 12. Perhaps you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may feel the inclination to give up a part of what is revealed unto you. And your heart feels strained lest they say, why is not a treasure sent down unto him? Or why does not an angel come down with him? But you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are only a warner. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that arranges all affairs. So now this is a very interesting holy verse. Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he's talking to his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's saying, perhaps you have an inclination to give up a part of what is revealed. So what is this referring to? Every prophet of God, alayhi salatu wa salam, when he not only encounters opposition, but is actually accused of falsehood and those very evils which he is protesting against, he may feel inclined to ask himself the question, supposing I omit this little point, will Allah the Almighty's truth then be accepted more readily? Or he may think, alayhi salatu wasalam, if I had only more money to organize my campaign, or something which will draw people's attention, like the company of an angel, how much better can I push my message? He is told that the truth must be delivered as it is revealed, even though portions of it may be unpalatable, and that resources and other means to draw people to him are besides the point. He must use just such resources and opportunities as he has and leave the rest to Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. So basically, the prophets have this inclination. They don't bend the truth. They're thinking, okay, for instance, give me an example. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Ibn Majah, Sahih Hadith, he was sitting with some of his companions, radiyallahu ta'ala, and Uyayna ibn Hisn and Aqra ibn Habis came. And they said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell these people to go away. These are poor people. We don't like sitting with them. We'll talk with you, and then when we leave, you can go back to them. So what does the Hadith mention? The Prophet thought about this. The Prophet thought, these people are ignorant. So if I tell the six Sahaba to leave, they will understand. But at the same time, I'll have an opportunity to speak to these two men. He was thinking that Allah Ta'ala revealed passages. Never turn away those who call upon their Lord morning and evening. There's an example. So then he got close to them. So this is what it means. He's not talking about sin. Don't be a fruitcake, right? He's not talking about, he's just talking about these little moments. Another example is when the blind companion came, Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu, in Tirmidhi, and the Prophet was speaking to some of the, you know, the hierarchy of the Quraysh. And when the blind Sahaba came, the Prophet turned away from him, thinking, let me focus upon these people. He's already, mashallah, firm in his deen. Allah the Almighty and Glorious revealed, Abasa wa tawalla. He frowned and he turned away. When they came to him, the blind man, Allah Ta'ala said, don't turn away from him. So this is what's being referred to. So here Allah Ta'ala says, he's explaining this part of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, maybe you have an inclination to give up a part of what is revealed, and your heart feels straitened when they say, why is not a treasure sent down unto him? Or why does not an angel come with him? Meaning, the Prophet was thinking, well, maybe if I make a dua for wealth, maybe this will encourage them to become Muslim. In fact, there's a hadith in Imam Ahmad's Musnad Sahih where they said to him, Ya Rasulullah, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you can change Mount Safa into gold, we'll believe you. So the Prophet was actually thinking of making that dua. Then Jibreel descended, alayhi salatu wa salam, and he said, if you wish, Allah Ta'ala will turn Mount Safa into gold. But if they disbelieve, they will be punished as no man has ever been punished. Or you can open the door of repentance. He has opened the door of repentance. So no, the Prophet was sometimes inclining to this. So here the Quran is saying this. Or why doesn't an angel come down with him? But then Allah Ta'ala says, you are only there to warn. It is Allah that arranges all affairs. Meaning, you just do what you're commissioned to do. Guidance lies with me. Don't start overburdening yourself with other things which don't really fall under your ambit. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So an example of this I can mention to finish. In Surah 33 verse 37. So in Surah Ahzab, Surah 33 verse 37, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions an example there. And the hadith mentions, this is recorded in Sahih Muslim, number 338. Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha, she said, if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were to conceal anything which was revealed to him, he would have certainly concealed the verse 37, i.e. of Surah Ahzab, and the translation. Behold, you did say to the one who had received the grace of Allah and your favor, retain you your wife and fear Allah. But you did hide in your heart that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was about to make manifest. You did fear mankind, but it is more fitting that you should have feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is actually a part of a narrative. And what happened was, his adopted son, Zayd ibn al-Harith, he married Zainab bin Jahsh radiyallahu anha. And the marriage wasn't, they didn't get on. So after the year, Zayd kept asking the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, I need to divorce my wife. And the Prophet kept saying, fear Allah. In other words, keep your wife. Because Allah Ta'ala was indicating to the Prophet, divorce is going to take place. And when Zayd divorces, you will marry the widow, the divorced woman, Zainab. So the Prophet, there was a thing amongst the Arabs. They would treat their adopted sons like their normal sons. So the Prophet was thinking the ignorant people will start talking. They'll start thinking, I've married my son's divorced wife. That was his fear. But it was just basically the ignorant people. He didn't want the ignorant to start talking. So he said to Zayd, the Quran says, fear Allah. Then Allah Ta'ala says, you hid in your heart which Allah Ta'ala was about to manifest. You feared mankind. It is more fitting that you should fear Allah. Then Allah Ta'ala gives Zayd the incredible honor. Then when Zayd had dissolved his marriage, Allah Ta'ala mentions him by name. Then the Prophet was married to Zainab radiyallahu anha. And this is why in a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, Sayyidina Anas reports, Zayd came to complain to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about Zainab bin Jahsh. The Prophet said, keep your family for yourself. And Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He revealed, i.e. this verse. So now, what does this have to do with this verse? Allah Ta'ala says, perhaps you may be inclined to give up a part of what is revealed. And your heart feels straightened, i.e. for the people. But he never did. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And these are clear signs of Nabuwwat. Think about that. Why would a person who's saying that he's receiving revelation mention things that are basically being said by way of mild rebuke? Imagine somebody comes with revelation, and in the revelation he's given, he's been told off. Another example. Our belief about Jesus Christ is that he was born miraculously. Maryam was a virgin. She was impregnated miraculously. Christ didn't have a father. Think about this. What did the Arabs think of that before Islam? They used to burst out laughing. Because these stupid, what do you call them, Bani Israel. They believed that a woman got pregnant. She heard voices. And they used to laugh. So imagine in that environment, it'd be hardly advisable for the Prophet then to start saying, well, in actual fact, she was pregnant, impregnated miraculously. Even though he believed. Why? Because why stir the pot? In other words, they don't ask you about it. Don't talk about it. But he's the messenger of Allah. So when he said it, imagine the unbelieving Quraysh. Because he believes that. So who paid Muhammad to say that? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Causing problems in his own backyard. And the answer is, he's the messenger of Allah. He cannot do except what Allah Ta'ala has told him to do. So note again, all of this is with regards to these holy verses of Surah Hud. So I'll recite the verses and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولئن أخرنا عنهم العذاب إلى أمة معدودة ليقولن ما يحبسه ألا يوم يأتيهم ليس مصروفا عنهم وحاق بهم ما كانوا به يستهزئون ولئن أذقنا الإنسان منا رحمة ثم نزعناها منه إنه ليئوس كفور ولئن أذقناه نعماء بعد ضراء مسته ليقولن ذهب السيئات عني إنه لفرح فخور إلا الذين صبروا وعملوا الصالحات أولئك لهم مغفرة وأجر كبير فلعلك تارك بعض ما يوحى إليك وضائق به صدرك أن يقولوا لولا أنزل عليه كنز أو جاء معه ملك إنما أنت نذير والله على كل شيء وكيل. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He makes the Quran the Nabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He forgives me for any errors which I may have inadvertently uttered. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى المسلمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم.